We've actually been able to solve problems faster and pivot faster because we set aside this time for everybody to focus on what we could change at our company.
Hey gang, welcome back to Future Proof. I'm your host, Bill Sheridan. Glad you're here. We're talking tax season today. It's that thing we all love to hate, right? The long hours, the nights, the weekends, the grueling workload, the stress, the deadlines, the anxiety, on and on and on. Look, it doesn't have to be that way, folks. We can change this. In fact, my guest this week did change it at her firm, all in the name of wellness and recruitment and retention. We're going to find out how that's going for her and her employees and her firm in just a moment. First reminder, this week's show made possible, as always, by our preferred providers. And these are folks we actually like to think of as partners. These are the organizations, the relationships, the partnerships that allow us, the MACPA, to do a lot of the great stuff that we do for our profession, including this podcast. But these partners do way more than that, too. They're doing things that we believe can help you all become more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world. And help is really the key word there. They truly do want to help. So please reach out to them, find out more about what they can do for you and how they can help. You'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website at macpa.org. Okay, so we all know the busy season horror stories. We've all told these stories, in fact, the 80-hour weeks, the sleepless nights, the lost weekends. It's the narrative that we've come to expect in accounting, and it's one that Samantha Bowling is on a mission to change. Samantha is the managing partner at GW CPA. They're headquartered in Prince Frederick, Maryland. She's also a former chair of the MACPA Board of Directors and a past recipient of CPA.com's Innovative Practitioner Award. So it really didn't surprise me at all when I heard that she and her team spent this past tax season throwing tradition out the window in favor of something radically different and new and refreshingly human, in a word. So here's what last tax season looked like at GW CPA. Try this one on for size, okay? No weekends. A hard cap on 50 hours per week of working. Mandatory extensions for every tax client. Upfront pricing. And maybe most surprising of all, a 15% fee increase for tax clients with full transparency and surprisingly little pushback. The firm's goal with all this, they had a few goals, actually. They wanted to prove that CPAs can work smarter without sacrificing quality, profitability, or client satisfaction. And so far, that seems to be the case. Samantha says the firm retained nearly all of its clients, reduced partner workloads dramatically, and got 90% of its tax work done by midsummer. More importantly, her team, especially the younger staff, felt energized. They felt grateful. They weren't just surviving busy season. They were really kind of thriving during it. Of course, there were growing pains too. Change doesn't come without growing pains. Process changes were some of them. Team restructuring, a few unhappy clients, and some serious learning curves here. But the hope is that the firm will emerge on the other side stronger, a bit more focused, hopefully more future ready, and importantly, given the profession's talent struggles, more likely to recruit and retain top talent as well. We've spent a lot of time talking about how can we reimagine this profession? How can we change the narrative about this profession? And Samantha and her team at GW CPA, they're doing it, right? So in this episode, Samantha shares what inspired these changes, how her firm pulled it off, and why people-first innovations like these just might be the key to saving the profession. There's also implications here in terms of AI, pricing, client communication, talent retention, and there's the question of whether firms that don't evolve in these types of ways might just find themselves increasingly irrelevant as time goes on. This is a conversation for anyone who's ever thought, hey, there's got to be a better way. In other words, everybody, right? So I'm glad you're here for it. Here's my conversation with Samantha Bowling. Tell me what you guys did differently at GW CPA this past tax season and why you did it too. So kind of dive into that a little bit.
Well, I guess I'll start with the why. That's the easy part. You know, we're trying to change public accounting, and that's one of our core goals at GW is to change how public accounting is perceived. And in order to change how it's perceived, you have to change how it really acts. So, you know, you hear the horror stories and everybody keeps talking about how you have to change the story, but these are not made up stories. These are real stories about how accountants work really hard. And it doesn't matter if you're in public accounting or private industry, accountants work a lot of hours. So we are like, we have to figure out with technology and automation, how do we change that? And how do we change the culture around deadlines was the main thing.
Okay.
Yep. So, of course, everyone talks about how if you're going to decrease hours, of course, that decreases the money you make. So that's a whole nother push to go towards more value billing and not billing on time, even though our firm still has time tracking. We were very proactive this year in saying, this is how much your return is going to cost. And it's going to be in this range. Like we said, a lower and a higher range, just so people knew what the expectation would be. But we also told them we would increase our fees by 15%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they were aware from the beginning because we had to increase our pay for our team. So that's cutting into our bottom line for sure. And we have technology costs that cost a ton of money that make us do a better job. So like we have to increase the cost that we're charging for these services instead of keep eating the cost of technology. So we told them up front, there's going to be a 15% increase in the fees when we sent the engagement letters. Of course, we send them all out early. And of course, that process is automated and clear expectations automated. And when we were expecting to lose clients because I mean, a 15% increase in fees, we were expecting at least maybe a 10% loss in clients, especially on the 1040 side, because we're like, you know, there's some 1040s we really shouldn't be doing because, you know, they've escalated out of the services that we provide. They're not business related owners and stuff like that. So we expected those people to leave. And we were quite surprised when they didn't leave.
Really?
Yeah. So I think our retention rate, we might have lost 3% of our business. Now,
well, that's got to make you feel good. That
it makes me feel good. But then we also, you know, we told them we weren't going to get their stuff done by March 15th or April 15th, that we would get it done by September 15th and October 15th. So not only do we increase our fees, we said, you're going on extension. We're not going to get it done. We can't get it done. Like we cannot do a quality job. And it's become basically a 6-week turnaround. Right. By the time the software is ready for us and by the time we get all the information from the clients, it's like 6-week window for business and for individuals. So we said, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to make it, you know, we're going to make it actually a crazy window. We're going to make it a 9-month window and a 10-month window, but going to work on first in, first out. So the first returns that come in that are complete information, we start working on you. Yep. If you send us incomplete information, then you go to the back of the line until you send us complete information. So we're giving you the time to send us information. There's no rush. You're on extension. We've given you a copy of your extension so you can send it to any lender or whatever issue that you have related to that. And then our goal was if you got your stuff to us on like in a normal fashion by like the March 15th, April 15th deadline, our goal was to get it still out to you in June and July. We're not pushing deadlines to September and October. We're still getting the work done. So I know when we first reached out this meeting, I was kind of in my May timeframe, which May became a little bit crazier because we were trying to get stuff done that had gotten here in February that kind of wasn't out the door yet. So it was a learning process, but I have to say I'm quite pleased with where we are today. Now it's July. I would say probably 90% of the returns that came in April, May timeframe, they're done. So, and I haven't, knock on wood, I haven't heard any screaming from clients about like, where's my stuff? Because we explain why it's okay to go on extension.
Right.
Why we're putting you on extension, because we can't keep anybody at our firm, you know, because they don't want to work the hours. So we actually, instead of saying you had to work a maximum hours or a minimum hours or whatever, we said you can't work more than 50 hours a week. Like we said, we will not pay you. Like our firm pays for overtime. So we said, we will not pay you if you go over 50 hours in a week.
See, so this is the stuff that really kind of blows my mind, because it goes against everything that anybody who knows anything about busy season has ever heard. It's like, you know, you're talking 80, 90 hours a week, and to say that you can't work more than 50 was extreme. So, and no weekends. Is that right?
No weekends. Wow. No weekends. Wow. So everyone was like, oh my gosh, not only do we do that, we gave them like 10 paid days off for the holiday, for the December holiday, to get them ready for this change that was coming. Knowing that it would be stressful, people want to do a good job and they work really hard. So changing their thought process to say, I don't have to kill myself. I can take my time and do it right, understand what I'm doing, and create less work for the people that have to review it and less work for the partners. I can take the time to do that, which is really a hard thing to change, especially for my seasoned employees, even for myself. So as partners, we didn't get to the 50 hours, which you would not expect anyway. As business owners owning a business, we would. But I went from working 95 plus hours down to 65. And to me, that felt like a vacation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is just unbelievable that we were able to do this. So it's only the first year of doing this. And our biggest fear was, are we going to make a crunch time for September 15th and October 15th?
Right.
And I don't feel that we are, because we're staying proactive on what information do we have and what information don't we have, and trying to contact.
And with like 90% of the work done by midsummer, you know, that's pretty promising. So a couple of questions that kind of stick out, and if I'm jumping the gun or if you need to jump back in and fill in some blanks, you know, feel free. But first year doing this, first of all, what did you hear from your team? How were they reacting to the changes? What kind of feedback did you get?
Well, our younger staff is like, yeah, this is what we're talking about. We don't want to work all these hours. Like, we don't want to do this work. Thank you for making this a profession that we want to stay with. Right. Now, just mean people won't leave, because there's a job. It's a job. And there's things you have to do in that job that you may not like. So people would still leave or whatever. But there was a lot of gratitude. Now, our seasoned employees, including myself and these seasoned employees, I think they thought we're crazy. Like, we've been talking about this forever. We are doing this. So every year we've been starting to gradually decrease the amount of time that was required. But this year was the boldest we've ever been. Like, we just need to get this done, because the sooner we get this done, the sooner we can fix whatever other problems we're having in processes and stuff like that. But we have to get everybody to the point where they're happy and working smart and working healthy and making time for life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's encouraging as well, the feedback you're hearing. What about from clients? I mean, you know, the numbers say that they weren't leaving in droves, so that was good. But I mean, direct feedback from them about, you know, the changes and why you were doing that. What were you hearing from them?
I think in the beginning, very supportive and nice to see that we're taking care of our people. I'm not going to say there weren't people who were not happy that it took them 2 months to get their tax return, because they weren't happy. They're like, oh. And so we have to work on the communication process about where they are, like, in the workflow and what we're missing. And then also, it's all about getting the right people in the right seats. So we kind of did something different this year also, which kind of made it a little bit more challenging, but better. Public accounting firms partners work in silos, meaning that I may have a specialty, but I do everything. Like, I might do financial statements, but I do tax returns, I do all that stuff. And then, like, Barrett, who's my other partner, was doing everything too. But we said, we're not doing that anymore, because there's no consistency in what we do. So not only do we change that, we said, okay, I'm only going to do financial statements and attest bookkeeping work, advisory work, and then still individuals, because I still have a few of those to do. But then Barrett was going to take over the business tax side of things. So he was going to be the final reviewer on returns. Now, I'm going to tell you, we learned a lot and it was painful because we did not know what people did not know on both right. sides. Like, you don't know what your team doesn't know until you're the one reviewing it. So we actually had to, we hired an external reviewer to help us too. Someone who was a CPA that wanted to work part-time, not want to work full-time in public accounting, but was willing to work part-time and help us review returns because it would be a lot for one partner to take over reviewing all these returns. And the other challenging part is we had a new CPA come on board who didn't really know anything about public accounting. So she had a lot to learn. So it was a lot. So we learned how much our team needs to learn about everything, mm-hmm. and which is helping us build better training programs and processes around both areas, tax and financial and advisory work. So I'm not going to lie. It was painful, but moving in the right direction.
Right. So. No, that's great. I mean, the first time doing anything this radical is you're obviously going to have some growing pains there. Anything else that you do differently next year? What else did you?
Yeah. So we're actually going to go through our client list and, again, we do it every year for challenging clients and people who are not responsive. Like if they don't want to get stuff, like, why are we doing this to ourselves? Cause we know that sucks a lot of energy out of people and time out of people. So, we're going to go through our client list again this year and say which, especially on the individual tax side, which clients, we love our clients. It's so hard to say goodbye, even to the good ones, but we need to say goodbye because it's impacting the service we're trying to provide on the clients we say we're going to serve. So the first thing we're going to do small businesses, succession planning, and we're going to do individuals related to those businesses. So we know that everything that's going on related to them personally and their business, we can't be doing one-off 1040s for clients who are no longer in businesses. So we're going to have to transition them on, not all at once, of course, but transition them on. And then that gives us the room to bring on the other clients that are business related that we need to be supporting and helping our team grow in that area. So we are going to do that again. As far as what we're going to change internally, we're going to have a lot of training for this tax season. Of course, now I have a new tax law, so that's even like, oh my gosh. So, so that's just going to reinforce us putting people on extension too, because the tax software, even though they pass this legislation, is not going to be ready in time for us to implement it. And we want to be able to make sure we're, you know, take advantage of all the tax savings we can for our clients.
Sure. Yeah. I'm kind of curious. Putting everybody on extension like that and moving the work out a little bit, a longer time frame there, did that impact any of the stuff that you would normally do in the past at this time of the year, you know, in the summer? How does that impact the rest of the year for you?
Yeah. So that's a good question. So in January, normally partners, like, we're done with our tax planning, and for partners, that's kind of a slower time. And since we brought in a new person who didn't really know anything, she could do extensions. Like, extensions is a process to do whatever. So she was able to take that off our plates and handle doing all that. But next year, a bot will do that. So I'm super excited that I've been pushing for a bot forever to do extensions. And finally, we're going to have that this year. So that will free up her time from doing that and shifting anything that we can shift that's either can be done by our admin support team using technology is what we're doing. So that we are on the accounting and tax side, just working at the higher level of knowledge and service. So that will change.
That's, you know, it's funny. I just had a conversation very recently with Tom Hood. He was saying, you know, we've been talking forever about all the time savings that these new technologies are going to give CPAs. You're going to be able to do more, you know, future focused work because these technologies will be doing the grunt work. And like for years and years, people were waiting and waiting. And when is that going to happen? When is that going to happen? And now we're starting to see it. So it's like, you know, it's kind of an exciting time. All this stuff starting to come to fruition, you know?
I would agree. And I know that we've been talking about this. I feel like Tom has definitely been talking about this forever. And it moved, but so slow in the past. And now that we say it's exponential, it is exponential. I can't, every day I am like, I'm blown away by something that's a new tool or new something that's added to an existing software we already have. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how fast this is really, really moving. So it is definitely transformative. One thing our team was, another great thing about us shifting deadlines is, you know, a lot of times we don't focus internally on our businesses and how we can do stuff better because we don't make time. I may have mentioned this before that we had this Foresight Friday where our team gets 4 hours a day to focus on an AI tool, learn about AI or some kind of other process, whatever, something new. But this year we were intentional in teaching them AI in busy season. We were teaching them AI. We stopped. We said for 4 weeks, we're going to do 4 hours of training on AI and how you can implement it. And then we're going to let you go run with it and play with it and see what you could come up with. And then we gave them the day off, the rest of the day off, paid day off. So we've actually been able to solve problems faster. And pivot faster because we set aside this time for everybody to focus on what we could change at our company.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's like, it sounds a little bit almost like Google time, you know, back in the day. It's that whole notion, right? Of sometimes you got to go slow and take a step back to go fast. Right. And
you're right.
Teach them the skills that they need to move things along at a better clip. I mean, why firms listening to this, Samantha, why should they be considering it? Maybe not something specifically like this, but people first innovations, you know, like this. Why do you think this type of stuff is important?
Well, you know, it's very important because we can't keep people on public accounting. And it's not only important to realize that you can change public accounting, but I think people are going to be scared about coming to public accounting if everything's automated. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they going to be doing if they're not going to be doing all this manual labor work? Because that's what we've done so long. But I want to emphasize that we've never wanted to do that work. We have never wanted to do the manual labor to get the information we need. We always wanted to have the personal relationship with our customers and our clients to say, how can we help you? And we've never been able to help because we've been so much in the weeds of doing. And if firms don't do this, then they won't be relevant. Like, that, what are they going to offer when your tax return is 100% automated because AI has done it?
Right.
Like, what are they going to offer to their clients if they don't really know anything about their clients and they're just working on compliance work? Yeah. There's not going to be any value to add to the services they're providing. So we say our strategy is about value and what value are we adding, and we charge based on value that we're adding to our clients. And like the financial statement and the tax return are just byproducts of what we do because those things are going to be automated. Like, anybody can go into QuickBooks if their clients are QuickBooks Online, the AI is already in there and it's telling them now what's wrong with their financial statement. Now, clients may not understand what that means or whatever, but they want to be able to say, okay, well, I can call my CPA or reach out to my CPA to explain to me, what does this mean? Yep. And I also want to caution firms, they should be telling their clients they're using AI. They should be. And because if they tried to mask it and they say they're doing stuff faster, like, and you charge by the hour, they're going to say, well, why are my fees not going down? Like, so it's not about hours. It's about what value are you bringing to the table? And then the sooner you do that, the better, because this stuff is getting automated. I mean, I've been in this profession almost 30 years, and I guarantee before I retire, which is not that far away, to be honest, in the next 6 years, tax returns will be 100% automated.
Yeah. Yep.
And so will financial reporting.
It's a different world. Yeah. That's amazing stuff. So what's next for you and your team? What are you thinking about? You know, maybe beyond this or any else new that you're working on?
Yeah. So now we're figuring out, since we've been able to use AI and our entire team uses it, every person from admin to partner uses AI as their own AI bot, and they use it every day. So we've changed everything because of this tool. Mm-hmm. So now we want to make sure that our clients know how to use these tools and how can we help them automate their processes and give them the time back in their lives. Because, as you know, small businesses, the clients we support, they don't have any time either. We're a small business. We know what it's like. They're a small business. They don't even know how to begin to automate stuff or use AI to change a process or support their customers or things like that. So now we're going to be the ones that help them do that.
Well, that's exciting. And that's got to be good news for you too. I mean, if they're getting more efficient at getting this stuff together and getting it to you, then it makes your job that much easier as well, right? I mean,
geez. Absolutely. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to have more time to live and not so much time to work. Yeah. It doesn't change the value. Actually, I think it adds more value because we're actually creating the relationship with our customers that we want to have, as opposed to just delivering something they don't even understand in the first place.
Yep, no doubt. Well, this is exciting stuff, Sam. I thanks for taking the time for filling me in. When you first mentioned this, I was like, I got to talk to you after tax season and find out how all that went. And it sounds like nothing is scaring you away, and just going to be fine tuning it going forward and figuring out how to do it better. So,
yeah. And I expect another price increase at the same percent or more. So, I mean, this, we are in demand and we have value. So we need to charge for our value and stop undercutting each other.
That's right. That's right. Well, good luck with all that. Thanks for the time and the insights as always. And yeah, we'll talk again down the road.
All right. Thank you so much.
Great stuff there from Sam Bowling, managing partner at GWCPA in Prince Frederick, Maryland. Learn more about the firm at gwcpa.com. We've got a bunch of resources in our show notes this week that might be helpful as well, including some AI tools and learning opportunities that can help things run a little more smoothly during your tax season. You can check out all of that at macpa.org/news. And finally, don't forget this week's show, made possible by our preferred providers, our partners in this profession. They're doing things that we believe can help you become more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world. And you will find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website. That's macpa.org. And that's all I got, gang. Thanks for being here. Have a great week. Talk to you again soon. Take care.